Lessons in Blood by Quentin Black. Read by Frank Coles. Dedication to Paige, Connor, and Daisy. Prologue. And he answered them, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For to him who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who has not, even what he has will be taken away." Matthew 13, verses 11 to 12. Sometimes summarized as, "The rich get richer, and the poor get poorer." Chapter 1. She spent a few minutes in that state between unconsciousness and being awake. Finally, her eyelids fought against the light before relaxing open. First, she recognized the sterile clean smell of a hospital. The white interior and the thin plastic cannula tube emerging from the back of her hand confirmed it. Searching her memory for how she came to be here, she found nothing. Her brain had often not cooperated in the past hazes of alcohol and drugs. In those instances, the recollections used to taunt her from the recesses of her mind. This was different. There was nothing at all, and uneasiness coursed through her. Pain throbbed in her lower abdomen. Her shaking hands gingerly lifted away the white sheeting. The 12-inch blood-concealed scar circled her navel like black insulated wire. The searching of her recollection became a frantic racking.
"Jesus, what did I do to myself this time?"
Her breath began to come in exasperated spurts. After a few moments, the curtains to her left were drawn back to reveal a white surgeon's uniform wrapped around a smiling, middle-aged gentleman. His hair, seemingly confused as to be either grey or white, highlighted his artificially orange-tinted skin, which in turn emphasized pearly white teeth.
"Easy, miss. How are you feeling?"
"Where am I?"
"You're in Brayson Private Medical Center. You were found by social workers unconscious in a derelict house in Hackney 3 days ago.
They brought you here, fortunately." The smile seemed painted on. This information calmed her a little. It sounded depressingly likely, and she thought herself fortuitous for where she now lay.
"Have I been stabbed?"
she asked. The likelihood seemed small, but a dark possibility nonetheless.
"No," replied the white coat, as he picked out a file from an acrylic holder at the end of her bed.
"After initial tests were performed, an emergency nephrectomy was performed due to your kidney being irreparably damaged."
"A nephrectomy?"
Her eyebrows squashed vertical lines between themselves.
"That's impossible. I had a full physical examination by the London Bridge Hospital less than 2 weeks ago. All the tests came back clear."
The coat's expression now matched her own. "London Bridge Hospital," he said, repeating the name of London's largest and award-winning private hospital.
"Yes, my father insisted after I came out of rehab."
The man eyed her warily. "Who is your father?"
"Darren O'Reilly."
"Darren O'Reilly? Where have I heard that name before?"
"He owns Verbatim Cyber Securities."
"I see," the man replied, looking at the floor with a frown.
"Excuse me."
He left her alone. During his absence, the question began to turn over in her head.
Could I have really damaged a kidney that bad in 12 days?
Could she have been struck in one of her heroin-induced comas? Her boyfriend was many things, but he had never been violent towards her. Besides, he was high more often than not, and it was she, with money siphoned off her credit cards and cash allowances from her father, that had kept the pair of them in a drug-induced state throughout their dalliance. The Permatan returned. She felt threatened without understanding why. His smile had gone. He reached up behind her, and she saw him turn on a valve.
"Excuse me, what is this? What are you doing?"
In response, she felt his palm press down on her chest. No sooner had she begun to thrash in panic, it seemed like she was laying in an invisible vat of honey. Her eyes felt like they were sinking into their sockets before her vision blurred into black.